Hello and welcome to TNT, the Technology and Things podcast. Your host, Paul Ferraro, is a former IT exec and currently a technology advisor. Jeff Kruger, a fellow technology enthusiast, is the co-host. They both spent many years working for a Fortune 500 company and are both passionate about leadership, technology, and the community.
Welcome to another edition of Technology and Things. I am joined today by Amir Fulidgar, returning champion of our podcast.
I appreciate it, Paul. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to ham it up with you, especially bright and early in the morning. Thank you.
Yeah, this might be our earliest podcast that we've ever recorded, so a new one for the record books.
It's okay. I'm on a quad espresso, so if you need to cut me off, just hit the mute button like they're going to have at the debates tomorrow night.
Yeah. I've got host control here, so I can mute you if I need to.
That's okay. Just give me some hand signals over the Zoom, WebEx, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. Today we're gonna have Jesse Amelie on with us. He is with Cisco. He is a vice president with Cisco. So pretty jazzed about having him on and kind of seeing what's going on with Cisco these days. I think that, you know, one of the things that we want to talk about, you know, everybody wants to talk about sort of the work from home and what's going on with COVID and how that's changing things. And one of the things I really want to understand from them is, what are they seeing that's different? Are there things that are going on or things that they're doing with their clients that we haven't heard before? So that's kind of my wish list for today.
That sounds good. I think I'm more impressed and want to chat more about some of his personal accomplishments he's had around being a triathlete. He was a collegiate swimmer. I was a swimmer growing up, definitely not collegiate. So I know the mindset that it takes to be a solo athlete. And in some cases, I draw parallels to that in sales. So I'm sure that foundation has helped him out tremendously with his career and why he's been so successful with his tenure at Cisco. Like you said, 20 plus years, that's not a small amount. And I think that resonated with you in your time at Qualcomm, 26 years. So you've got him beat by 6 years.
Yeah. It's 20 years with a company is a long time. I still kind of wake up some days still thinking I work there.
I think you've mentioned Qualcomm a couple times in our discussion, so I can see where you're coming from when you say that.
And sometimes I show up to the office there, and they're like, "Hey, dude, you don't work here anymore. Get the hell out of here."
And then I'm just here to charge my car. That's it. That's a good excuse you could use.
And then they escort me out of the building. They're like, "This guy is like that crazy guy in the office space where he keeps showing up here. He doesn't even work here anymore."
Oh, I could make so many comments, but I'm not going to.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think the anyone that gets to that collegiate level of sports, that's a serious serious commitment and takes some real drive and it's pretty special to get to that.
Clearly, he still has the energy for it, right? Swimming, surfing, still doing triathletes, the real deal triathlete in Hawaii. This isn't a half or a quarter or a weekend warrior thing. It's the real deal. So it says a lot about someone's energy level and commitment to things.
We hope you are enjoying the episode. Go to evotech.com/TNT31 and enter our contest for this episode. 10 lucky winners will receive a Masterclass membership for 1 year. That's right, 10 memberships to Masterclass for a year. Please enter at evotech.com/TNT31 by October 30th, 2020.
What's special about the Hawaii one? Is that
I think that's the one where you win. You're the triathlete champion.
And that's like the World Series of
Super Bowl, World Series, whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
I mean, I was trying to use World Series because that's sort of topical right now.
That was a pretty good game last night. I enjoyed it.
I just saw some highlights. I didn't see it.
Well, it's a bummer. LA is kicking butt and taking names, but no one can be watching in person. So it's almost like we're not getting championships in basketball and in baseball.
Yeah. No, they have all those little stick figures, though, that are on there.
Yeah, that works.
Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing well. Thanks for coming on our podcast today.
Absolutely. I couldn't be more excited to be here.
We were just catching up on some sports and talking about the little cutout people they've got on, you know, the World Series games and all that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I saw that for the first time, because I had to do a double take. It just seemed a little bit surreal. I don't really like it.
I don't think anybody does. We're getting robbed of the championship. We're just talking about that.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting times, to say the least.
Well, I can't wait for you to hear our talk up of you, Jesse. We did a great, we just killed it. We did a great little intro for you. So I mean, you could probably use it for other things in the future. You could just be like, hey, play this tape right here. These guys talked me up real good.
Yeah, your customers listen to
probably, it. It's probably way too much, honestly. And the audience that I will show it to, Paul and Amir, is my wife and kids. Just because they don't believe anything I ever tell them. So, wife and kids. Then I'll send it to my mom and dad.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. That's perfect.
Well, this is going to be smeared all over the internet, so we got you beat a little bit.
Too funny. Too funny.
We were talking a little bit about your long career at Cisco, and we're looking forward to kind of hearing everything from, you know, what's going on with some of the clients and customers that you guys are working with, and also just diving into kind of everything from building teams to all kinds of stuff. So, and then of course we were talking a little bit about your background with sports and swimming and all this stuff. So, we're pretty jazzed to talk to you today.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited. And I know we were supposed to do this in a van that you guys are building out down by the beach. And
down by the river.
Down by the river.
No, we're a step up from that, Paul. There's no rivers here.
Yeah, our studio is like, I'm actually going to go visit our studio tomorrow. It's supposed to be done in like 2 weeks. I can't wait to show everybody that. It's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll definitely do it again, Jesse, when we get that going.
Yeah, it sounds really exciting. And we'll probably have a ton to talk about as we get through these COVID times and customers get back to work and in person in the office. There's, you know, everything's changing so dynamically. So it's constant disruption out there. So there'd be a lot of things to talk about.
I was a former swimmer, definitely not at the collegiate level, so I know what it takes to operate at that high level. Being a solo athlete, there's parallels that I can draw to sales. I don't know if you agree with me there, Jesse. You obviously have a team supporting you, but there are moments where solo performance is key. And having that mindset obviously has provided you tremendous success at Cisco for 20 years. And I think Paul and you have similar backgrounds in that you've gone through an organization and have grown. But I wanted to turn the question on you and have you describe what has that journey been like for you? I mean, obviously you came in on the ground floor and now you're running an entire team, region, as a vice president. But what are some of the parallels that you can take from the collegiate side of your background and what you're doing professionally now? I wanted to start there because I think there's, to use Ned Engelke's word, utterly fascinating parallels. So if you could just draw on that, I think we can get the discussion going.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd love to share that. And I think a lot of collegiate athletes would probably have the same reflection in terms of success in business or anybody that's done any type of sports where it's really demanding. I swam in college, and I think that just helped kind of grow my mental fortitude and also learn how to work with a team. And then I wanted to get into something, you know, I had watched Ironman on TV, to be candid with you. And I thought that, you know, I'm like, oh, maybe I could do that. I don't know. But I got to do a triathlon first. So let's start with a small one. I'll do a sprint, and then you get connected with people. Then you do a half, and then you're like, okay, well, if I did that, I could probably do an Ironman. So I think the first thing that I've always kind of drawn from is you have to think big. You have to set a vision for yourself. And if you set big goals, And again, your big goal could be, hey, I'm just going to start working out 5 minutes a day. For me, it was like, okay, I'm going to do my first triathlon. And then I did that. So then you got to reset yourself and you got to set the next big goal. So thinking big and just continuing to reset those goals are really important. So that's kind of the first one. And this is a philosophy I've used, through my leadership career. Second one is about people. You got to surround yourself with extraordinary people. So whether you're a college athlete or you're on a team, like all the teammates got to be amazing, but you also have a coach and a mentor. In triathlon, I did reach out and I got a really good coach that helped me and just kind of gave me the encouragement. But I also trained with extraordinary people in the journey. And then I had somebody help me with my nutrition, et cetera. So there was still, even though it's an individual sport, Amir, there's still a team aspect to it as well. And then the third pillar would be around framework for success. That's what I use in the business world. I always think whenever you have this vision and the strategy and this, you're thinking big.
There you go. You have to parallel.
Yeah, you have to have a framework. In triathlon, it would be a training plan. And then you kind of work it every single day, week, month. And you make tweaks as you go along. You guys have for Evotech, you guys got a business plan. At Cisco and my sales teams, like we have a plan and then we want our teams to have a plan. So does that make sense?
It makes tremendous sense to me. And I'll say this, we believe in being very well-rounded here at Evotech as well. Cesar and CISO, our founder and CEO, rolled out a health challenge. I want to say, Paul, what was it, July, August timeframe, where you put a challenge in front of yourself and you execute it by the end of the year. And I love that. Mine's kind of silly, but it's not. Being a former swimmer, I wanted to be able to swim a mile without stopping with board shorts. And swimmers know what I mean when I say that.
Yeah.
And, I put that in place. I hadn't done that in a while, and I was able to do it, which is nice. And to your point, now it's time to start edging it up and create additional increments that we can achieve. So to your point, I agree, having a challenge in place and being able to continue to grow, that's what it's all about. And along the way, having a lot of fun. I mean, I'm going to speak for ourselves, all of us here. We're having fun at work and we're having fun outside of work, and doing these little things keeps us growing and fresh. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more. You do have to have fun. I mean, we all have a choice where we can work, but you have to have, you just got to enjoy the people you're surrounded by, the culture of the team. The other thing I would add onto all of that, and this is, I think, really important, especially now, but if you're doing endurance sports or if you've done any type of sport over a long period of time, it helps build your mental fortitude. It's not always going to be great and you're going to run into obstacles. And when you're doing an Ironman distance, I always started very excited and I felt great when I started. But you're going to have some down cycles through that race. And if you haven't gone through it once, you're not going to know. But after you've done one, you know that it's going to get bad. It's going to get ugly. You're going to feel nauseated. You're going to feel exhausted. You may cramp up. I mean, there's different things that your bike may not operate the way that you want it to. So things are going to happen. Same thing in the business world. I mean, you look at all the different challenges we've had. You didn't know that COVID was going to happen. But if you've done things like this, then it also helps you understand, I know there's an end. And I know when I cross the finish line, it's going to be an amazing feeling. And there's going to be an end to, everything that we're facing right now. And it's going to be better. And so there's an optimism side to to these things as well.
Being comfortable with the uncomfortable is what I like to say.
Yeah, totally.
Having said that, for our listeners and viewers in certain cases, can you define what that Ironman is, the three sections and the duration, just so that we're all on the same page and realize how difficult it really is?
Yeah. It's a 2.4-mile swim. It's a 112-mile bike, and it's a 26-point. It's a marathon, 26.2-mile run at the end. Now, I also share it because I have been blown away and amazed at the people that I've seen accomplish this distance. I have seen people, the first person that actually got me involved was one of the first people to ever do it with AIDS. And it was right when the cocktails were being introduced and he was concerned about his longevity in life. Then he started these new cocktails. And then I was, training with him and a whole group of people And, you know, what he, the perspective he gave me is like, hey, he set a huge goal. He had huge obstacles in front of him, and then he went and accomplished it. And then I've seen 80-year-old men and women cross the finish line. I mean, anybody can do it. You just have to set your mind and think about it in little bite-sized chunks.
That's incredible. I had no clue. 80-year-old individuals, octogenarians, to use an SAT word.
Yeah.
Wow. Even you could do it, Amir.
You could.
I'll think about it. Let's get through this podcast first.
When you look, you talked about this a little bit with building teams and everything. What's the kind of approach what's the approach that you kind of go for on building teams? How do you try to, you know, because obviously the team needs to be diverse and it needs to have sort of all the different kind of players. How do you kind of approach that with building organizations and teams?
Yeah, Paul, I have a theme that I run across the West that I lead right now, and it's driving a winning culture. And to me, culture is in every single thing that we do. It's in our every single interaction we have with our people. It's interactions with our partners, interactions with our customers. It's how do we set up recognition? I mean, there's so many different facets to culture, but I do believe culture embodies everything that we do. The second part of that is, you know, and this is kind of what I talked about with triathlon, but it's extraordinary people. It starts with people. The most important asset that any of the whether it's our customers, our partners, the manufacturers, it's having extraordinary people on your team. So you have to hire the right people. You know, I look for people that are hungry, smart, and humble. I mean, I think those are three character traits. Like if you're not smart, then we're going to have challenges. If you're not humble, we're going to have challenges. If you're not hungry, then we're going to have challenges. So you got to have those pieces. We definitely pride ourselves in trying to find a diverse, you know, trying to drive diversity inside the organization. And that's never been more true than it is today. So we really lean in hard on that. And then, you know, a couple of the things that we do that I think are really good for teams and building great teams is just to have a culture of give back. There's a number of studies that have been done, but when a team finds purpose, whether it's inside the organization with your mission or outside and having an impact on the community, that helps to build really good, great teams and also great cultures.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more on the giving back part of it. I think definitely something that we at Evotech do quite a bit of as well. And
definitely,
and I had that experience in my previous life also, that when you do things, you know, as a team, you know, for the community, it's like it just makes your team like just glues it together even stronger, and you get that, you know, you feel like you're doing something, you know, really important, and you're able to kind of just make those connections with your team. You're able to work through all those challenges like we talked about then, you know, when you face the types of, you know, adversity or issues or whatever it might be, and you can work through those so much easier when you know that you can trust the person next to you and be able to kind of work through anything.
I do have a question along those lines. Jesse, I found it rather challenging with COVID keeping my team together here in LA, Southern California. What are you doing to maintain that cohesion and that team building with what's happening? That's been difficult for me, because before we'd all just get together, we'd see each other at customer sites with customers who are our friends, doing social things. But right now it can be quite challenging for me personally. So I'm curious what your thoughts are around that.
Yeah, Amir, it is. And it has been challenging. I think people are they're tired. They're tired of working out of their houses. You know, a lot of folks are challenged with, you know, they get their kids at home and they're having to be a part-time teacher and they're also trying to do their jobs. Amir, you have that?
Yeah.
So it's challenging. So I think that, you know, one is just like, we all got to lead with empathy and compassion for, you know, with our teams. And we need to really understand where each of our team members are in this journey. Some people are fine and they're good and they're thriving, and other people are just surviving. And, you know, so you got to understand where your team members are. And then we got to leverage technology. So Cisco is a technology company, obviously, and we've got video, video conferencing solutions, and we got WebEx. So we leverage our technology quite a bit to constantly connect with our team. So there's one-on-one connection, and we really have been helping our leaders understand how connected they need to stay with their teams. So that's part one. And then part two is like, how do we have fun and leverage different, you know, online or virtual events to, you know, to drive. So we were doing happy hours. We were doing trivia. We were playing as many games and just trying to make it fun to keep the team camaraderie going that was naturally occurring day in and day out at lunches or in the office. And I think we just got, you got to stay focused on that because it gets a little bit stale. So you got to find something new to do. So maybe it's a cooking class or maybe it's a wine tasting event or maybe, you know, but just keep mixing it up so that your teams are staying engaged and feeling like they're still part of something, even though they're, you know, maybe isolated at home.
I think your point, good sense. Your point about the mixing it up is good because it's like, you know, in the beginning, it was like we were all doing the happy hours and then it was like, oh, can't do any more of those. And, what else can we do? That's been wild.
I have one of our team members who his whole team created an MTV Cribs episode in their own house.
Oh,
I gotta see that.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was a great like culture steal. And so anyway, that's what I mean. Like mix it up, do some fun things with the team.
That's cool. I like that.
I'm just seeing this right now. If Jesse were to do one, you open, you know, the part where they go to the fridge and they pull the fridge open and they show what's in there. I'm guessing there's nothing but water and coconut water for you.
It's pretty. My wife keeps us pretty healthy around here.
There you go.
It's a little ridiculous. Yeah.
We don't want to look in your fridge, Amir.
There'd be a lot of the same, but I'll tell you, there's a few beers in there as well.
Now, I went to Amir's house once, and he fed me some you know real healthy green stuff.
And you didn't like it.
It was
a kale sandwich where they take the outside of the kale leaf, and inside was tuna and a bunch of other vegetables. I go, here you go, Paul. Here's awesome lunch for driving all the way to L.A. from San Diego. And he took one look at it and took one bite and shoved it off, charged his car, and got out of here.
I ate some of the tuna out of the middle of it, but there was so much kale on this thing, Jesse. I couldn't do it. I mean, I'm fine with a little kale, but this thing was over the top.
All hail kale, Paul.
We need vegetarians here.
You probably in and out on the way home too. Didn't want to tell you.
No.
He's like, do you want to take this to go? One of the things that we talked about, that I really wanted to get your take on as well is, you know, we have, especially during, you know, this time is more important than ever. People are trying to sort of figure out how to maybe reorient their career, maybe take it up a level. Maybe they're trying out something new. I'd love to just get your thoughts on that. If you have any on what you're seeing there or what you think is maybe some insight for people.
Yeah, people development is incredibly important when you're leading an organization or you have any folks that are reporting up to you, or even if you're just, you know, if you're an individual contributor trying to think about how do I develop my career? And I get asked those questions quite a bit. I think like, especially now, you need to be very purposeful about your own development. So the good news is everybody's at home. Most people, I won't say everybody, but most people are at home. So if you're purposeful, you can usually get meetings with people pretty regularly and you can put a cadence together. So I think the first thing is, you know, and this is not rocket science, but you have to understand kind of where you want to go with your career. So that's part one. Just really be introspective and understand what you're good at and what your strengths are. I really do believe in that strengths-based leadership philosophy. Understand your strengths and really lean into those, because the things that you're not that great at, I mean, there's times when you need to focus on that, but you may not really want to go develop those as much as you can continue to develop your strengths. So then understand what your career plans are. And then I always say draw a circle, like who can help influence, who are your stakeholders that can help influence your ability to get to that role, whether it's a lateral role or it's a promotion, and identify all those stakeholders And then be purposeful about networking and finding an opportunity to connect with them. So that's one. And then that sometimes feels awkward because you may not know how to have those conversations. But I think if you take it from a perspective of learning, you have to constantly be curious. And there's always something that you can go learn from people. So go understand what is going on in their world. Maybe you can add some value to that, and there could be a symbiotic relationship there. So I think that's really key to just identify stakeholders, create that network, and then go find how you can add value. And so that's part of it. And then mentorship is really big as well. And you know, I could share some thoughts on mentorship as well.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it actually parallels what you kind of said at the beginning. It's like, you got to kind of sit down, you got to make a little bit of a plan, you got to think about what you're trying to do. And then, you know, who do you kind of have in your sphere that you can work with? And I think what I found in my career is people are willing to help you. If you go to them with if you put in some work, you know, if you just go and say, hey, I don't know anything, I don't know what I'm doing, it's hard. But if you kind of have a little bit of a, here's what I'm trying to get to.
Framework.
Yeah. You said it.
It's all about framework for success.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. And it's, you know, and then it's the other thing, if you have a mentor or you have people that are looking out for you, you need to get really clear on what do they perceive your strengths are and what are the challenges. And a lot of time we all err on being nice, and we don't want to, a lot of times people, leaders don't want to tell people the real challenges they may face. So it's like, hey, is Paul, are you ready for the, you know, are you going to be ready for this role? You really want to know what's going to hold you back.
Right.
You may not be aware, or you may be aware, but you want other people to really tell you at the end of the day. And sometimes that stuff doesn't come out. So you need somebody that you can trust that's going to say, yeah, you'd be great for that job, but like, what are your buts? And Amir, like, what are all of our buts that would prevent us to getting to the next role, so that at least you know and you can put a plan to go work on those things?
I did sit down with Amir on this, and he gave me all that, and it was I was devastated for weeks. So I you know, no, I'm kidding.
Keep going with that, Paul. I like it. What did I say?
That'd be great, but you serve kale sandwiches with tuna, and like bread with tuna. That would be a lot better.
Yeah, like a little, yeah.
And I know it hurt your heart when I said I don't drink IPAs. I'm a Pilsner lager guy, too. So there's a few things you could add to that sentence. now we're getting off tangent here.
That's all right. Hey, Jesse, one of the things that that also I'm really curious about is, you know, now that everybody – we kind of had this massive shift of people – working from home, trying to figure that out. Now we're trying to maybe figure out some people going back to the office, depending on where you are, and some people staying at home. You know, I'm really interested to get your perspective on what you're seeing with customers. And I'm sure you talk to tons and tons of customers every day. Any insights you can share there would be great, just to kind of get a feel for what's happening out there.
There was this pre and then kind of where pre-COVID, where we are today and post-COVID. And the pre was really interesting, or I would say kind of during COVID was really interesting, because there was such a massive focus on secure remote work. Mm-hmm. And how do we leverage WebEx technologies, collaboration technologies, video technologies, and VPN connectivity and security for the home users. So there's just a massive focus on that from our team. I know you guys were very focused on it. How do we enable that? And customers are scrambling to do that. And just like some interesting stats, like our meeting minutes went from like 7.3 billion in February and 39 million meetings all the way to May, and it sustained itself through May. So we haven't seen an increase since we got to about May, but our meeting minutes now went from 7.3 to 25.6 billion meeting minutes. The meetings themselves, 39 million meetings to 94 million meetings in a month. So, I mean, you're just tripling the amount of consumption that was happening. So we've seen it kind of stabilize, to answer your question, stabilization of that secure remote work. And then customers have gone back and they really wanted to fortify because they reacted very quickly and they had to scramble and they didn't necessarily put enterprise class solutions in place. They just put solutions in place to continue business right. resilience, right? In terms of overall, it's really interesting. I don't think this is a surprise, but it depends on the vertical in terms of how they're doing. And it depends on their business. And, you know, I talked about people surviving and thriving. Businesses are also either surviving or thriving as well. And right. so certain industries are doing better than other industries. Certain businesses inside of industries are doing better than other companies. And then the other thing I see is just geographically, I am seeing, you know, those state and or local governments that are really strict in lockdowns, those businesses are still, I would say, holding on to their budgets and trying to figure out what to do. And then those state and local governments that are loosening up the lockdowns, they are obviously getting back to work a lot faster. And I just read a Wall Street Journal article last week that was talking about how the South's economy is coming back much faster because of the, you know, the lack of restrictions and enabling the businesses to get back into the office, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. I think that we're sort of in the middle of it, right? And we're seeing, we have, like you said, these indicators of some of these businesses that are they're kind of already ahead. You've got some kind of in behind there. So it's a really wild time to be alive and working through all of this for sure.
It is. I mean, you could take healthcare, for example, and initially healthcare was so focused on COVID response. And, you know, we were helping them put these pop-up tents together with wireless technology and mobile devices so that you could go through and you could get tested outside the hospital. You wouldn't bring COVID into the hospital. So, you know, that was a massive effort. Then if you had COVID patients that were in isolation, how do you give them technology so they can communicate with their family members and or doctors that you maybe didn't want them to go into that room,
right.
Which was really sad. I mean, it was incredibly sad for the patients. And I really feel for those folks that are in isolation. But also, you know, we could give them technology. So there was a lot of focus on that. We were providing video surveillance solutions. We were providing video conferencing solutions. We were even going and grabbing video conferencing. I mean, we have tons of video conferencing units inside of Cisco offices, and we were taking those video conferencing units. We were sterilizing them. We were putting them in boxes, and we were sending them to hospitals. That was how crazy that response time was.
That's pretty cool. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. It was an amazing effort by, you know, Cisco employees worldwide to go into their local offices and package those up and go and deploy those. And so there was a lot of interesting use cases that kind of popped up out of COVID. And then in retail, it's been really interesting. All of retail shut, you know, I won't say they shut down, but they really slowed down. And, I don't know about you guys, but I think we all rushed out to the grocery stores and we just got as much food as we could the first few weeks, toilet paper included. It's nice to see toilet paper back. But we didn't eat out. We didn't eat out for a couple of weeks. And now, you know, you start seeing people eat out again. But like quick service restaurants, I don't know if you've noticed, but the lines have been incredibly long for quick service restaurants, whether you're getting burgers or tacos. And so line busting technology and getting infrastructure and applications to go provide faster service to customers, that's also been these are just small use cases, but it's just a highlight of some places where there's really been some thriving that's happening with the COVID economy.
Yeah, some of those retail businesses, you know, in the early days when it was, it was sort of like pick up your item from the parking lot. Some of those companies were able to quickly adapt and had to build applications. You know, I mean, they had to deploy things that they didn't even have. And it was surprising to see some of them that, you know, they you look at the company and you think they weren't maybe the most progressive type company. And you see them come out with some of this stuff that you could drive up, push a button, say, I'm here, and somebody walks out and hands you the item. I mean, pretty innovative stuff that was developed pretty quickly there.
It was curbside pickup. Again, there's a lot of technology that goes into curbside pickup. How do you know when? And this is these are all solutions that Cisco is focused on, and some of it with third party software providers, and then with our partners like you guys to go and put package these solutions together. So curbside pickup was another big one that we've been helping customers with. Their e-commerce sites all experienced incredible growth, and so there was a lot of investments early, and then also right now there's been a lot of investments in data center technology because many of them stepped away from their data centers and they didn't invest in their data centers over the last 3, 4, 5 months. And now they're going back and they are refreshing and increasing capacity to handle the increased consumption that they've experienced. So those are other things that we're seeing. And so it's been really interesting. And I think customers are getting much more strategic in nature now. Like they were in such a reaction mode, and now they're in what we're calling it a reimagine mode, as they think about this new normal and whether customers are going to, their internal customers are coming back in the office. Are they going to stay remote? And, I just saw a IDC report, like before COVID, 6% of the population was remote. The knowledge workers were remote. Once you got to COVID, 67% of the population, knowledge workers, were working remote. And they believe in the next couple of years, it's going to settle out to about 16%. You talk to customers, it really depends. Some customers are telling us, nope, we're never going back. Some customers are saying, yeah, we're going to go back in August, September. Some are saying we're going to go back in January, February, March. So the gamut is, it's really interesting. And some are just going back now. It depends on geographies, like I said, and the local state government policies and the company's policies. Well,
yeah, they're all kind of trying to figure it out. I agree. I've seen similar kind of predictions, or kind of the different companies saying, hey, all these different timeframes are all over. I don't think they're sure what it's going to look like.
One thing, Jesse, that you said that piqued my interest, and I've had numerous conversations with customers over the past weeks about this, is that you're right. The data center in many cases has been neglected, if I could use that word.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oftentimes the business had said everything's going to public cloud. And the customers are coming back and they're saying, well, we're going to put the applications where they belong. And it looks like a hybrid is going to be the design that prevails. We're not going to put everything on-prem and everything's not going off-prem. So let's do what's right for the bottom line in the business and the applications. So we're seeing that balance that I think you're talking about. So the hybrid is really an area that I think is only going to continue to accelerate. Are you seeing the same thing in your world?
Yeah, Amir, we are. It's really interesting. So one of the roles I had at Cisco was I was running our data center business across our commercial business across the U.S. And this was 5, 6 years ago. So public cloud was already there, but it really started to accelerate. And the pendulum was just swinging so far to the right, public cloud. And one CIO, back then said, hey, I'm embarrassed to even tell my peers that I don't buy into public cloud and I'm probably going to stay private cloud for right now. So that pendulum swung and then it started to come back to hybrid, and then COVID hit, Amir. And then all of a sudden it seemed like it started to pivot back towards public cloud, but it's really been a combination of cloud-based and SaaS-based applications.
Right.
But to your point, CFOs and CIOs are looking at their budgets and everybody's very cost conscious now. And so they're doing a lot of application rationalization around what is the best place for me to provide my workloads? What's the most cost effective? Where's the most secure? Where's the most flexible? And you're totally right. We're seeing, we really are seeing customers lean into that hybrid cloud strategy, and they need help too. It's really not an easy question to answer. And there's a lot of work that goes into making those decisions and understanding your business and where those applications belong. And are you even ready to go into the public cloud? Are you ready to bring those, to repatriate those workloads and bring them back into a data center that you own? So it's been pretty interesting.
No, I appreciate that. Paul, I'm dying to ask this question, but it's your question. It's what are some of the unique things Cisco's doing that we might have not heard before in the discussion point that we're having right now? Because everyone knows you guys as the switching company and compute and all that, but you guys are just so much more. So how would you answer that question for all our listeners and viewers in certain cases? Because that's one that I'm very interested in getting answered.
Yeah, as well. Thanks, Amir. Thanks for asking the question. You know, there's four pillars that we focus on in Cisco to really help our customers. One is reimagining your applications. The second one is empowering your teams. The third one is to secure your data. And the fourth is to transform your infrastructure. And on that hybrid cloud discussion, we have developed a number of solutions to really help customers build out that hybrid cloud. And we have partnerships with AWS and GCP and Microsoft. It doesn't matter to us. Let's go put the workloads where you think makes the most sense, but let's enable you and give you software tools and hardware tools and SaaS tools to help understand what, you know, how are your applications performing? Do you have the right security as you move those applications and the policies in place? We want to give you the visibility and analytics, regardless of whether they're in your data center, your private data center, or they're in your public data center. So there's, we just came out with a new solution called Intersight Workload Optimizer. That's a cloud-based solution to give you a lot of that functionality and also help you understand, you know, where are those workloads, where are they residing, and when does it make sense to move them back and forth to the cloud? So that's one unique thing that we've been really focused on. The other one is that I'll touch on is securing your data. And a lot of customers don't know that we are the largest cybersecurity company in the world. And we have been making a lot of investments over the last 7 to 10 years in our security portfolio. And recently, one of the things we have done, and the whole goal was to bring a secure infrastructure to our customers that will support you, whether you're in the cloud, whether you are securing your endpoints or you're securing your infrastructure and your corporate network. So we just released a new solution called SecureX, and it really is a single dashboard for all of your Cisco security products and third-party security products as well. And it really helps to drive more visibility into your security, all of your security products. It helps to drive automation across security ops, IT ops, and net ops. So there's a lot of value to it. And the best part is it's free. All you have to do is own a security product from Cisco and you get SecureX. And it takes like 15 minutes to get set up. It's extremely easy to deploy and get instant visibility into your security solutions. So there's some more I could go into those if you guys want, but there's a few things like SASE. Amir is also it's a really hot topic. There's a number of vendors that are out there talking about that, but our the combination of SD-WAN and cloud security and zero trust, Cisco has all of the solutions, and we just released a new router called the Catalyst 8000 that is really going to help address the SD-WAN and the security portions of the SASE conversation. And these are all things that are going to be announced at Cisco's Partner Summit, which is our big summit for all of our partners to help enable them on, you know, what's new and trending in the industry and new and trending for Cisco.
That's great. I appreciate that. That was a heck of an answer right on the spot. So some solutions that I personally need to look at along with my teams, but the general gist of everything I think I heard, it's moving away from point solutions and more solution-based, which is exactly what our customers need. So thank you for that, Jesse.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and I think the other thing on the whole SASE discussion, because I know we got to We want to save some things, Jesse, for when we get our van going and we can go down to the beach and we can do a episode down there with you too. But I think the SASE discussion is critical right now because you've got, you know, even if you have folks coming back to the office, I mean, you need to be able to really be flexible nowadays where maybe we're going to be at the office for 6 months and then we're going to be back at home again, you know, and we don't want to be having to scramble like we did in March. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
makes a lot of sense.
You know, customers were already going in, you know, they're moving their applications to SaaS-based applications and cloud-based applications, and their users are getting access to those applications from home or from Starbucks or wherever they are. And so you need to be able to get access to those efficiently, and you need to be able to provide security within the cloud. And so, yeah, we're seeing all those trends, and it's true. You need to find that happy medium, and we'll see where it all goes over time. I'm bullish. I think we'll get through this as a society, as technology companies, though. I think it's exciting for us because everything's changing, and there's a lot of opportunities for all of us in technology, whether you're on the manufacturer or partner side, or you're on the customer side. I think there's opportunities for all of us to learn new things and to really cement our careers and help each other to be successful.
Cool. Love it, Jesse. Jesse Amelie, thank you so much for did I get your name correctly there?
You did. I'm like, bro,
Excellent.
I'm actually blown away. It never
I did a
happened.
little re I did a little research and recon, Jesse.
That's
But really appreciate you coming on today. And Amir, always thank you for coming on with
Thanks for
us
having
and
me. Thank you,
co-hosting.
Jesse. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Amir and Paul, for having me. I really do. Thank you. I feel blessed that I got the opportunity to spend some time with all of you and to be able to do this podcast. So appreciate it. I'm looking forward to when the band does get built out. We can go do this down at the beach. Maybe we'll go surfing, have a few beers afterwards, and just enjoy the day. So
No
sounds good.
in person.
No, we're gonna have a lot of IPAs, Amir. And I can't wait, Jesse, for you to hear that intro we did for you. So let me know how you think, what you think of it.
I will. I'm excited. I'm definitely excited
All
to
right.
hear it. Awesome.
Take
Thanks,
care.
guys. Have a great day.
Have a great
Thank
day.
you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Go to evotech.com/TNT31 and enter our contest for this episode. 10 lucky winners will receive a Masterclass membership for 1 year. That's right, 10 memberships to Masterclass for a year. Please enter at evotech.com/TNT31 by October 30th, 2020. Thank you for listening to another edition of Technology and Things with your hosts, Paul Ferraro and Amir Fulidgar. We'll see you next time.